door.
Oh, yes, we will.
Many miles.
Oh, let's stand to our feet and sing with all your heart.
Not many miles to go.
And I don't regret the mile that I've traveled for. Oh, I don't regret the times I've trusted in His Word. I've seen a big hand clap of praise tonight. You love Him with all your heart. Amen. I can say that and tell the truth. I don't regret a mile that I've ever traveled for the Lord. I wish there had been a lot more of them. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Are you glad you love Him? Are you glad He loves you? Aren't you glad He loved you first? His love is unconditional. He loved you when you were very unlovable. He gave His life for you when you were very unlovable. Do you love Him with all your heart? Turn around, shake somebody's hand, tell them this. God bless you, you mighty soldier of the cross. I don't regret a mile. God bless you, you mighty soldier. Praise the Lord. God bless you, you mighty soldier. I love you, buddy. God bless you, buddy. Mighty soldier, God bless you. God bless you, brother Samuel, you mighty soldier. Love you, buddy. Oh, go ahead and fellowship a little bit. Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you, my brother, you mighty soldier. God bless you. No, I don't regret a mile I've traveled for the Lord. No, I don't regret one time that I've trusted in His Word. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm going to let you be seated for just a few minutes tonight while we look at a prayer request. We've got a lot we want to let you know about tonight, so we'll just hurry through these requests. Brother Wes, if you'd get ready to lead us to the Lord tonight in prayer. I want to remember Brother Scotty Babb with suffering from a stomach virus. Let's just pray that the Lord would move for him. Also want to pray for Noah Cockman. He is having very bad night terrors. Every night they're asking that we would remember that child, so we certainly want to pray that the Lord would just wrap His arms around little Noah. He's able to do that, isn't He? Amen. I want to pray for Brother Joe Pascal and family. Many needs in the family. The Lord just bless those folks tonight. Here's a prayer request. A sister asked me to send a request in for her back. She had a back operation. Things went really well for a while. Now the pain has returned and is quite unbearable. Please have prayer for her. Thank you so much. A sister Tanya sent that in to the library, so we just want to remember that need tonight as we pray. Please remember Brother Ivan Tuspa. I hope I got that name close to right. From the Ukraine, who is currently living in Idaho. He has an incurable lung cancer, and doctors have given him no hope. He attends Brother Paul Halet's assembly there in Nampa, Idaho. So we just commit that need unto the Lord. Ask God to be mindful of that situation. We'll remember Brother Chuck Dixon in prayer tonight, not feeling well. And Sister Sharon Piercy, that's Sister Carol's sister, very sick in the hospital. I think Brother Donnie had texted and said that she's doing a little bit better today, but still very, very sick, needs healing in her body. So we just want to commit that unto the Lord. Brother Keith Phillips says that I ask my church family to pray with me about a decision that I need to make by Monday. I want to know the mind of the Lord and be in His will, so we just commit that prayer request unto the Lord. Brother Pinky Phillips back into the assembly with us tonight. Praise the Lord for that. We're certainly glad to have him back. Brother Pinky wanted me to let you know he is so thankful for this church family. And I told him, we're so thankful to have you in this family. Brother Pinky and Sister Phyllis, we thank the Lord for you. And Brother Pinky, the Lord has touched our brother, so thank God for that. We praise the Lord for that. Also, Brother Eddie Yance has been able to be back in the service with us tonight. We want to praise the Lord for that. Somebody say praise the Lord. Well, remember a man by the name of Eddie Boturf. I hope I got that name right. Remember him in prayer. Just really needs a hand of God to move in his life. And he's asking that this assembly would remember him and pray for him. Also, Brother Larry Elliott is doing great. He came through his surgery. Perhaps we'll even get to come home tomorrow. So praise the Lord for that. Amen. Certainly appreciate Brother Larry and what he means to this assembly, him and Sister Tanya and the family. So they're looking maybe for him to get to go home tomorrow. Brother Caleb Adkins sends this in to please pray for a little girl by the name of Rebecca Hildebrand. She is the niece of the electrician that's working on our house. She is 9 years old and is being rushed into emergency surgery to remove her colon. They believe in the power of prayer and are asking for our church to pray. So we certainly want to just commit that unto the Lord. You know, we requested prayer some time back for the two little girls in Canada. One of them had maybe a brain tumor or cancer. One of them had cancer on her ankle. They called today or sent a message. Both those little girls are doing outstanding. They want to praise the Lord and thank you so much for your prayers. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So we just thank God for what He's doing. We thank Him for what He has done, what He is doing, and what He is going to continue to do. Because we've got a Heavenly Father that loves His children. Do you know that He loves you? Do you really realize He loves you? Look at somebody and say, do you believe He loves you? And tell Him the truth. Tell Him the truth. I believe He loves me. He has to love me. He has to love you too. Let's all stand tonight. Let's sing that one more time. I don't regret a mile. As Brother Wes gets ready to come tonight to lead us to the Lord in prayer. A couple of announcements. We'll make those just in a few minutes. But let's sing this with all your heart. Think about where you were. Think about where you are. And think about how you got here. You didn't just walk in here. Somebody brought you here. Somebody put you here. You're here for a reason, not just to occupy a spot in a pew, but you're here for a reason. You're here for a reason. Somebody say, I'm here for a reason. Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise tonight. And I don't regret a mile I've traveled. Days without a song. Love you, Brother Wes. God bless you.
God bless you. Let's pray. Father, it seems to me as we were listening to the requests that there's no depth that Satan won't sink to. Lord, he sat in heavenly places right by your side. And look at what he's fallen to and what he's capable of, Lord. And he would terrify a child in the night. And he would bring sickness upon your children. And he would do these things, Lord. But through it all, Father, through every bit of it, you've always been there for us. You've always been right beside of us, right in us, helping us, Lord, through the process of healing, Lord. Sometimes giving miracles, sometimes just changing us completely, Lord. As we're talking about this song here, as we're singing it, Lord, about how we don't regret a mile. How could we regret it? You've led us so gently and so carefully. You've given us great revelation, Lord, and you've helped us so much. You've drawn us closer and closer and closer and pulled and pulled and pulled till we're almost home. Lord, we just love you so much. I know we can lay these requests in your hands. Lord, you know, Sister Sharon, she's devoted her life to you and serving you and taking care of children, Lord, and being a mother and a homemaker, and she's just a wonderful saint of God, Lord, and Satan comes against her and hurts her like this and causes her this sickness. And I know that you're standing there, Lord, holding on to her, and you've never let go, and you never will. And Lord, all the other saints, the testimonies and the other sicknesses that were brought up, Lord, all the different things, everything from our piano player, Brother Larry, Lord, the way the devil just comes against us and comes against us and seems so relentless, but you're always there. You never change. You never let us down. You always hold to us, Lord. You always protect us and watch over us. We can always count on you. We can always take our faith and place it on you, and it'll never return void. We thank you, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, most of all, for a place to come where we can worship you in spirit and in truth, where we hear the very words from the throne of heaven. Lord, it's just such a wonderful thing to come to a place where we can receive revelation. And Lord, that's what we want more than anything right now. We've been instructed to pray for that. Above everything else is more revelation, Lord. We know that the time is coming, and we know that you're getting us ready. I ask that you pour your blessings upon our brother as he comes out and speaks the word tonight. Lord, I ask you to just bless this service. May it honor you. May it lift you up. Lord, may it console you. We love you so much, Father. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Praise the Lord, Brother West. God bless you. Praise the Lord. And Brother Donnie and Sister Carol were called yesterday. I think they left, maybe got in Kentucky around 2 o'clock, something like that, yesterday. And they're there with the family. Brother Jimmy, Brother Gary had said that one of Sister Sharon's biggest, or one of her problems right now, that they had given her a double dose of chemo, and she was suffering from that. So let's just pray. Let's just really hold that family in our hearts as we pray tonight. I want to welcome to the service tonight the McCard family from Indiana. They're visiting with family of Brother Matt Carter. Where would you folks be? Raise your hand so we can see you. God bless you. Give those folks a nice hand tonight. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. If you're visiting in this service tonight, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. Those that are streaming, we pray this service would be a blessing to those folks as well. Now, Brother Amos Cutts sent this message to the library, and I want to read it to you. There's two families that's coming this weekend to visit our assembly. A sister has two children, and a sister that has three children, and they need a place to stay, perhaps Saturday and Sunday. One of the sisters with two children have been taken care of, but one, the sister that's got three children, and the reason they can't get a motel room, Brother Jimmy has tried. The race is in town, or over in Bristol this weekend. Everything's filled up. So here's what Brother Amos needs for you to do. These guests that are coming, if you can keep this sister that's got the three children, you need to get a hold of Brother Amos Cutts and let him know, because he's going to serve as the mediator between you and the people that's coming. The phone service in I believe it's in Manitoba, is very, very sparse at times, and perhaps they couldn't correspond, but they just want to know that when these families come, they have a place to stay until Monday. They've got a place to stay that I think maybe they're going to be here for perhaps a week or so. And so they've got a place to go to on Monday, but this weekend they need a place. So if you could keep a sister with three children, get a hold of Brother Amos Cutts tonight. Everybody understand? Everybody understand? Okay, is that, Brother Jimmy, did I do okay? All right. All right. But they're going to be here and they need a place. So just remember that if you would. Let's sing a song. If you need to sit, you can. If you need to stand, stand. I need to stand. How about you? I don't care what you do. You do whatever you need to. What's better for you, that's no problem. But we're going to hold on, aren't we? You going to hold on? We'll sing it like you believe it then. Let's sing this song. I just held on. You're going to hold on with everything you got? Because you love Him, right? Because He's done so much for you. You're going to make it impossible for even the Lord to run you off. Your faith is so great in what He's done for you. You're going to hold on, right? Somebody say, I will. Give Him one more hand clap of praise if you love Him. Singer, buddy.
You really have to help me because I've got a little sinus devil. But anyway, we'll try it.
You ask me how it is that I'm still standing. You wonder how I made it through the storm. I can't boast of any special power.
All we can.
There's no secret, I just held on.
And I held on till the storm was over. I don't claim to be a hero, and I don't have all the answers, but I held on till the storm. Not because I'm great, not because I'm strong. I held on till the storm was over. To be a hero, I don't have all the answers, but I held on till the storm was over. Not because I'm great, not because I'm strong, I just held on.
I can tell that things are finally happening. I've got blessings I can call my own. Many times I wonder if I would make it.
Oh, yes,
but while I was wondering, I just kept holding on.
Oh, and I held on till the storm was over. I don't claim to be a hero, and I don't have all the answers. Because I'm strong, I just feel. Yes, we do. Yes, we will. By His grace, we will hold on. By His grace, we will hold on. Amen. I'm going to let you be seated tonight. Brother Zach Holmquist and some of the young people have a song if they'll come onto the platform. Also, Brother John Cockman is here. He'll come onto the platform. He'll have a song just in a few minutes. We'll go right on into the service. Brother David Siler is going to be speaking for you tonight. And I know we're looking forward to hearing the word of the Lord. I believe it's going to change our lives. Let's sing this little chorus as they get ready to sing tonight. God is good all the time. Do you believe that with all your heart? God is good. And all the time? You've got to do better than that. My Lord, have mercy. God is good. And all the time. Give Him one more hand clap of praise tonight. Yes, I know my God is good. Yes, He is. He's good all the time.
That I take every moment. give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I wait. Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I wait. Lord, have your way. Every breath that I take, every moment I wait, Lord, have your way in me. Lord, have your way in me.
Well, I appreciate the prayer from my nephew Noah. Arwin put that in. And it's not often. Jesse emailed the whole family to ask for prayer about that. He's waking up in the middle of the night. Let me rephrase that. He's getting up in the middle of the night, and they can't wake him. But it's like sleepwalking, but he's in a violent terror. And he hurts himself. He hurts things. They have to wrap him up and hold him down. He's getting to be a big boy. And used to be he would wake up in 15 or 20 minutes. They put him in the shower and let water run over him. But he's not waking up now. They just have to ride it out. So they're really asking for prayer for that. And we know it's the devil. And when Brother Louie asked me to get up and sing a song, I thought about this one. One my sister wrote, and I asked the girls if they could help me with it. It says, even though the nighttime finds me crying, before too long the daylight will shine through. And we believe that. We just need to trust in Jesus Christ for what we need.
As I look around, I see I've stood in this place before. And I'm frightened by the heights from which I view. Before too long, the day.
trust in you. Though I tremble where I am, Lord, I know it's in your hand. I will trust in you.
Song tonight, just before Brother David comes. We're running just a little bit late, but I asked Brother Caleb Atkins to sing this song for me tonight. Nobody can't sing it quite like Brother Caleb. My Redeemer is faithful and true. How many of you can say amen to that? Brother Caleb, come on and give us that song tonight. Give our brother a nice hand as he comes to sing tonight. Let's all just stand if you want to while he sings this as Brother David gets ready to come. How many of you know this, that he's more faithful than you are? Our Redeemer is faithful and true. Brother Caleb, sing it, buddy.
As I look back on this road I've traveled, I've seen so many times how he's carried me through. And if there's one thing that I've learned in my life, it's my Redeemer is faithful and true. My Redeemer is faithful and true. Everything he has said he will do. Every morning his mercies are new. My is faithful and true. As I look, my heart rejoices when I read his promise. There is a place that I'm preparing for you, and I know I'll see my Lord face to face. 'Cause my Redeemer is faithful and true. My Redeemer is faithful and true. Everything he has said he will do. Every morning his mercies are new. My is faithful and true. And in every situation, Lord, you prove your love for me. When I lack the understanding, you give more grace to me. My Redeemer is faithful and faithful and true. My Redeemer is faithful and true.
Aren't you thankful he's so faithful to us? I'll be honest, he's a lot more faithful than I am. Amen. He never forgets about me. He never overlooks me. When I get sick and I ask, he's always there to move on every need that I have. I'm thankful he's a God like that tonight. Amen. While you're standing, I'm going to go to the scripture with you this evening, to the book of Genesis chapter 32. Has God been good to anybody in this place tonight?
Amen.
Well, he's been good to me. I have to say that. He's been better to you than you have been to him. Amen. Genesis chapter 32, we want to look at verse 24. We'll read down to verse 28, and we'll give you our subject and let you be seated this evening. I said, Brother Daniel, not only is in the service tonight, him and his wife certainly appreciate. Ain't God good to us? He's so good to us. Genesis chapter 32, verse 24. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Deceiver. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Deceiver, but Prince. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. I want to use that for a subject tonight. I'll just use this little thought. He called me Prince. Let's just bow our hearts. Lord, I'm so thankful tonight that you have called us your sons. Lord, tonight as we've come to look within your word, we ask, Lord, that you would just anoint us all together, Father. We ask, Lord, that you would take your word, Lord, as you've done many times, and that you would break the bread to us once again. Lord, knowing how mindful you are, we pray, Father, for every person in the building, Lord, as we've come as it was to pull our chairs underneath your table. Lord, we come tonight hungry, Lord, in this midweek service. We ask that you would take, Lord, your bread and break it to us, Father. For Lord, we have such need of you tonight, Lord, as we do every day. Lord, we are hungry tonight, Lord, and we desire to be caught up higher than just this time element that we live in. But Lord, we believe there's something within our beings that is, Lord, from eternity. It's from another dimension. So Lord, we pray that you take the eternal things of your word, Father. Take it, Lord. Break it to our hearts, Father. Lord, this evening, Lord, as our pastor, Lord, and his wife is there, Lord, to comfort the family. We pray, Lord, that you would just move in this situation. Lord, we count it as a finished work, Lord, for where two or three would gather together in my name. You said you would be in the midst. So tonight, Lord, we call upon that name that's above every name. That name that can heal any disease. That name that can cast out any devil. We call the name of the Lord Jesus Christ over our sister tonight. May the Holy Spirit go where she at, Lord. Move upon her tonight, we ask in the name of Jesus. Satan, you have no place among the children of God. We stand, Lord, and we know, Lord, that the prayer of the righteous man availeth much. And Lord, what a congregation, Lord, as we stand together. We come to bring our faith together to believe tonight. Lord, we come, Lord, to push back against the darkness that would come against the believers tonight. Lord, we come to shove back against the enemy that would come to shove against your children. Lord, we stand tonight, Lord, to will, Lord, and yield the light of faith tonight, Father. We send it to the need tonight, Father. Bless this service. Lord, anoint us as we come together now in Jesus Christ's name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. May the Lord add blessings to the word. Praise be to God. Well, awful lot preaching now. Amen. Oh, he just drops by sometimes. Don't you love the unexpected visits? Sometimes you're going down the road, you're just thinking about the Lord, and all of a sudden he just drops in the car with you. And oh, I love it when he just drops in unexpectedly sometimes. I want to start this evening with a statement that Brother Brown makes, and we're going to get to this just in a few minutes. We'll try to certainly not be before you very long tonight, this Wednesday evening. But Brother Brown, in the gifts, and he used this in different places, he's talking about gifts always find their place. And he's made this statement different times in the scriptures and referring to the certain scriptures. And he comes to this speaking about Jacob. And Brother Brown said, if there isn't something in a name, then why, as long as Jacob was called Jacob, which means supplanter, deceiver, that's what he was. But when he wrestled with the Lord all night, and the Lord changed his name, the Lord did, when he's about 60 years old, he changed his name from Jacob to Israel and made him a prince before God. And that's what he was. Why Abraham had to be called Abraham before the baby could be born. Why Sarai called Sarah before the baby could be born. And why Paul, or his name Saul, when he met Jesus, he changed him from Saul to Paul. And when Simon was changed from Simon to Peter, which means little stone, all their names were changed, because what you call is, there's something about it. When you speak something, it identifies itself. We know that our God is a covenant-keeping God. And being a covenant-keeping God, there is an approach that we must come before Him underneath. We know there's an approach that we come, and of course, when we access God, we must access Him by the name. Now, even in the Old Testament, a lot of times when a man would come before God, they, of course, would take and they'd approach God underneath a certain name, and they would call Him by the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And even to this day, many of the Jews, even today, they still approach Him by the name of Abraham, by the name of Isaac, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. It's because God had made a covenant with these patriarchs. And they are there as the covenant. There's a recipients of the covenant. And because they become recipients of the covenant, God had made these promises to these men. And that through these men, that God was going to keep the covenant, and the covenant would be in effect. Now, they would, of course, approach God, underneath the name of the God of Abraham, which was Abraham's God, or the covenant that God had given to Abraham. They're calling upon that covenant keeper. And then the covenant that God had given to Isaac, which was descendant, of course, of Abraham, and then right on down to Jacob. And when it come to Abraham, we know that Abraham was a man that God had entered into a covenant with, but yet not because of how good Abraham was, not because of how many works that Abraham had. But Brother Ram said the reason that God chose Abraham is because Abraham was elected. It ain't that he was better than somebody else. It ain't that he done more to achieve it, to be able to earn it. But Brother Ram said it was unmerited grace God chose Abraham. Now, even Abraham as a man, Abraham, like every other man, Abraham made mistakes, and the church said, amen. And you realize, as a man, he had shortcomings, he had mistakes, he had faults, he had failures. But yet, even though he had all those things that was against him, he still had a covenant with God. And not only did he have a covenant, but the Bible said the covenant would be only to Abraham, but also to Abraham's seed. So when the seed of Abraham would raise up, they would want to approach God to remind God, Lord, you made a covenant to our daddy. And we are approaching you to remind you of the word that you give to Abraham. We're approaching you to remind you that we are the seed of Abraham. And you said that we would possess the gates of our enemy. In so much do you realize that Abraham was such a patriarch that the three major religions of the day is based upon Abraham alone. And of course, the blessing of the covenant from Abraham moved from Abraham right on down to his son Isaac. And then we know that Isaac, of course, was a type of Christ, being the recipient of the promise, being laid upon the altar to be sacrificed. And there he was, a perfect type of Christ laying there. But then it moves from Abraham down to Isaac, and then it comes to this man, Jacob. Now, I can see how that they could say the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, but then they say they put Jacob in there. Now, when I was in kindergarten many years ago, when they was teaching us about lessons of comprehension, what they would do is they would give us a piece of paper, and on that paper, they would have four different pictures. And on those pictures, they would all have to do with the comprehension. Maybe it'd be a sink, then it would be a refrigerator, maybe it'd be a dishwasher, or maybe it'd be another appliance in the kitchen. But then they'd have another picture, and maybe it's an elephant. And they would ask you to circle the picture that does not belong. If you was going to take these men and look at their lives, amen, somebody, and begin to circle one out of the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, every person in this building tonight would circle Jacob. Because it seems as though he doesn't belong. But I want to remind you, because even though Jacob was a man that had so many shortcomings, being a shyster that Brother Abraham said, he didn't reflect the faith of Abraham. He did not even reflect the character that Isaac had when he was there. But he was a man that had all kinds of faults. He's a man that had all kinds of mistakes. But you realize, yet God allowed this man's name to be put within the scripture, that when the children of God would come to approach him, they would approach him by the name of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. To me, God is showing us something by this. He's letting us know that anything that is good of God that comes out of my life, it's only because His grace allowed it. He's letting me know that anything that is blessed that comes out of me, it's not because of how good I am. And it ain't because of how good you are. It ain't anything righteous that we had done. It's not by any merit or works that you have accomplished. It's not how much you pray. It's not how much we read our Bibles. But if anything good comes out of me, it's the grace of God. It's not a righteousness of our own, but it's God that has done it for you and I. I've looked at my own life many times and I wonder, Lord, why at this stage of my life? Why am I being tested by certain things? Why am I going through this? Why am I dealing with this, Lord? It seems like I should be way past this. Anybody here like that with me? And we think, my Lord, why in the world does it seem like I get tested sometimes for such simple things? And you look at your life and you think, my, I've been through so many great trials. I've been through so many great tests. But then sometimes a little small test comes up and I fail. And you realize my mind is so embattled sometimes, and we feel like our life is nothing but battles. You ever done that little self-examination? Lord, how can I get better? What can I do to be better? We all do that. But remember, there's always a fight before there's a victory. I said you always go through a test before you get a testimony. You always have to have a little bit of pain, a little bit of suffering, a little bit of trial before you can come out and have real power that goes along with it. And you realize that Jacob's struggle, it wasn't just a struggle. You realize it wasn't just a struggle of his youth. It wasn't just a struggle when he came to his teenage years. But before Jacob was ever born, he had already started wrestling. While he was in his mother's womb, the old heel grabber was already wrestling with his brother. Brother, that ain't a sign that trouble is coming. Trouble was on its way. And so when this woman, knowing that when she's giving birth to this heel grabber and them just wrestling back and forth in the womb, here is a woman possessing two nations in her womb. And they're fighting one with another. Anybody else ever feel that way? Lord, I got two nations fighting in me. One's trying to do the word of God. One's trying to keep the word of God. One wants to say amen. The other one gets tired sometimes. The other wants to give up. But there's something greater than me that's going to win. Amen. And I want you to understand that before this boy's ever born, that he begins to pull upon his brother's heel, because it's a fight, a constant fight. And it would move right down to his natural life, a constant fight. So if God is going to get a hold of this boy and change anything about him, sometimes the only way some people know how to get on the right track is for God just to wrestle it out of you. Because the day you start trying to serve God, you show up on the hit list of hell. And every devil is out to try to stop you. And it's not necessarily even where you're at. It's not even what you're doing right now. But the more you try to serve God, Satan starts seeing things that is molded and shaped into your life, and he wants to put a stop to it before it goes any further. I said he sees what you're becoming. He sees our life is taking shape, and he'll do anything he can to try to stop it. Now Jacob's mother gives birth to twins. And these two twins are already fighting. And I'll just say this, they're still fighting today. But Jacob was going to be one who was going to be used of God. But he had some troubles. He had some struggles. He had some issues. He had some things that wasn't good. He had a whole lot of bad. Amen, somebody. He was a deceiver. Those are some pretty bad traits to be able to be used by God. First thing God's going to have to do is get every bit of that out of us. This man being a thief because he stole his brother's birthright and everything that he had gained to this point in his life, he had gained it by deception. Nothing done righteously. Nothing done properly. Always something shady. Always something under the table. That sounds like me and you. Always doing our best to try to get the next one. And who you got to step on, it does not matter. And that was Jacob's life. Everything he done was by corruption. Oh, I could preach right there a minute. It was by corruption. It was through corruption. Oh, brother, but if Jacob could ever get past his corruption. And I'll just say for you, if you can ever get past your corruption, if he could get past his corruption, God can get something out of Jacob. And if God can get me past my corruption, my shortcomings, my mistakes, my faults, my failures, what I do wrong, God can get something out of us. You know what keeps me discouraged? My corruption does. You know what keeps me weary? My corruption does. You know what gets you down? Your corruption. You know what keeps you from reading your Bible? Your corruption. Amen, somebody. When we get so weary, it's because our corruption is given over. The very name Jacob means he's a deceiver. It means trickster, schemer, schemer. And so all he's doing is just acting out his name. When they would call him Jacob, the characteristics of what Jacob's name was just coming to manifestation. He can't help from be what he's been named by. Nobody could do nothing with him. His daddy couldn't do nothing with him. His mother couldn't do nothing with him. Can I preach to you? The church couldn't do nothing with him. The church couldn't change you. Catholicism couldn't change you. The world can't change you. No man can change you. But God had to come down himself. I said God had to come down himself and he had to get a hold of Jacob. If Jacob's going to be changed, God's going to have to be the one to do it. It took a wrestling match with God to change Jacob. The Bible said when Jacob had left his wives across the brook and he crossed, that he entered into a wrestling match with a man. With a man. That tells me, the Bible says that they wrestled until the breaking of the day. So here he is fighting a man. And they said, there's nothing said. Can you imagine? You get there and you get to that place and you feel such a strange presence around you. And about that time, a man goes to wrestling with you and fighting you and turning you upside down and body slamming you on the ground. There was probably some grunting going on. There was probably some old me's and ouch and oh and my goodness and all kinds of things were said. But notice, Jacob is not stopping. It's a wrestling match going on. Until finally the angel says, let me go, it's the breaking of the day. Finally the silence is broken. After all, glory, after all the time of this wrestling match, the angel of the Lord finally says, let me go, the day is breaking. You know what that tells me? God will only fight with man so long. He will only wrestle to change you for so long. He only gives opportunity to some to change for so long. Don't you see that's where the church ages has been? Down through the last seven church ages, God has sent angel after angel after angel. Wrestling match after wrestling match after wrestling match, trying to change the church. He's wrestling them away from creeds. He's wrestling them away from dogmas. He's wrestling away from man's idea. He's wrestled the church away from legalism. He's had to wrestle away. But I want to tell you, the night has been far spent. And as one age has failed,
one age after another has come to the end. We have come now to the breaking of a new day. I said we've come to the dawn of a new day. A new day is fixing to come. And the Lord Himself has showed up to wrestle us to changes. He knows the day's about to break and He's wrestling. Oh my, He knows it's just about to end. And the angel knows my time is up. The daylight's coming, the daybreak's coming, and He can't see me. So the angel escalates the tempo of the battle. Bro, that's good preaching right there, somebody. Amen. I worked hard on that. He escalates the tempo of the battle. Because the closer to the end that you get, the harder the battle is going to be. Hey, one punch is some of the majors. Men would just give up and walk away. Sometimes it's just a bad, just say something bad about somebody in a day gone by. They just give up. Oh, but if you're going to make it to the end, you're going to have some thick skin. You're going to have to be able to take some trials. You're going to have to be able to take some tests. You're going to have to go through some things. You're going to be able to have to put up with some things. Because now the angel's pursuit to get away, oh my, it's greater than it's ever been. But David, what's he trying to do? He wants to bring a change. I'm going to say it again. The daylight's coming. The new day is about to dawn. And he wants to bring a change to Jacob. He knows that at any moment the time is up. And time has wound up, brother and sister. We're living on the very brink, the very collapsing, right into eternity. And time is up. It's time to leave. It's time to go. It's the breaking of the day. And it's time to get out of here. And the angel knows. He knows if I'm going to change him, I've got to do it quickly. So he starts intensifying the battle to try to shove Jacob into his position. Because Brother Bram said, when the bride recognizes who she is, the rapture will go. And he's trying to get Jacob into his position. And now the daylight, oh my, as it's coming up, it's increasing. Because the time is quickly moving away. Isn't it amazing that Jacob's life, after all of his tests, all of his scheming, all of his deception, isn't it amazing that God eventually pushed him right into his presence? You know why? He's the God of Abraham. He's the God of Isaac. And He is the God of Jacob. Jacob may not know it yet. Jacob may not realize it yet. Jacob may not feel any different yet. But He is the God of Jacob. I'm going to tell you, you may not have sensed it yet. You may not know it yet. But He is your God. If you ain't even been changed yet, He is still your God because He's already declared it in His Word. And when God says it, He always keeps His Word. So He keeps pushing Jacob. And Jacob, after one scheme to another, one deception to another, finally he crosses the brook. And no doubt God is looking at this thinking, finally, I got him right where I want him. I'm going to tell you about you. God pushed you your whole life. And He has set up a course to finally get you to the place where He can deal with your life. He finally works on you and does everything He can to finally push you to the place that you get down, that you'll eventually listen to what He's got to say. You realize how much better off it would be as young people if we could actually give our hearts to God as a young man and become our place where, Lord, I just want to be submissive to You. Whatever You want out of me, Lord, help me to be submissive. But when some of that deception starts raising up and some of that scheming to scheme our parents, scheme the church, scheme preachers, that's what we think.
But you'll never scheme God. You'll never out-scheme God. Because He's got it all in control. And He allows us to run and jump and bump our gums every day of our lives until finally He's going to push you across that brook. And He's going to get you by yourself. And when you're by yourself, He's going to jump out of the bushes on top of you, grab a hold of you, and the fight's going to be on. All the years of scheming, all the years of trickery, all the years of doing his best to deceive and trying to step on something to get to the next rung in the ladder. All the years of trying to do something on his own, it never did work. As much as he tried, it never did work. Because you can become successful out here, but if you ain't got the real success, which is the secret of every believer, the real success ain't how big your bank account is. But I'm dropping this egg and I'm gone right here. I'm dropping the bomb and I'm out. I'm telling you, it ain't how good you are. It's what God has done for you. It's what God can do through you and in you. Not just to help yourself, but to help somebody else. Eternal life is not living for your own. Eternal life is living your life for others. And God knows if this man is ever going to be changed, he's going to have to come under the influence of the angel of God. Don't you see, friend, the same thing has happened to the believers in this hour. He has pushed the church from one age to another, to another, to another. And finally, the bride has come underneath the ministry of a mighty angel. In order to bring every promise to pass, God knowed he was going to have to wrestle some things away from you. He knowed it. So he starts wrestling with you. And I'm not talking about love taps. I'm not talking about after you get done, well, that was all right, that wasn't too bad. I'm talking about an all-out wrestling match. You realize, I was born in the country. When there's a fight going on, they ain't no rules. They ain't no rules. The fight is over when the next person can't get off the ground. There's going to be, well, it ain't proper to bite somebody while you're fighting. I'm talking about a wrestling match, a real fight. Real fight to try to prove who's got the most strength. Try to prove who's got the most power. And God wants Jacob to know, you ain't going to scheme me. The days of trickery to me is over. You've got to possess the goods, Jacob. So he starts wrestling with him. Jacob wrestling with God. Until finally, oh, I love this. Until finally the angel speaks. Let me go. Let me go. An omnipresent, all knowing, all sufficient, never lost a battle, never been whooped, never been beat up, never been put in the hospital. Never has known what it is to fail. Tells Jacob the man, let me go. You got it. He's wrestling with him because he knows there's something in there. He knows there's something about Jacob. He sees something real inside of Jacob. He sees something original inside of Jacob. And he knows there is a seed of prosperity inside of Jacob. And I'm going to do everything I can to get him to submit. Remember when you used to wrestle with your brother? We try to get one another down until you submit. I never dreamed in my life I'd be preaching that God's got to wrestle some people down until they go, Uncle, 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 mercy, mercy, mercy. But he does. Because some of us, our heads are so hard that God has a hard time getting something down into my old Arkansas head. He wants to get it down in there. So what he has to do sometimes, he has to wrestle me down. And I say, okay, God, I submit. The angel says, let me go. I ain't letting you go like I'm in charge.
I ain't letting you go till you bless me. I'm inclined to believe that God wanted to hear Jacob say this. He wants to hear Jacob say this. He wants this to come from his lips. He wants Jacob to finally stand on his own two feet and declare, Lord, I need something outside of scheming. I need something outside of trickery. I need something genuine. And I ain't letting you go until you change me. And the angel says, as though he doesn't know, as though he doesn't even know, what is your name? What is your name? God knows how to ask a question. It ain't that God didn't know what Jacob's name was. Come on, somebody. He's not wanting to know what Jacob's name was. He's wanting Jacob to know what his name is. Hallelujah, somebody. What's your identity? What's your characteristics? What is your nature? Jacob looks up and says, my name? Lord, I am what they call me. My name's Trickster. My name's Deceiver. My name's Liar. My name's Adulterer. My name's Drunk. My name's Prostitute. But there's something inside of me. There's something inside of me that's calling something higher than Schemer. There's something in me that's calling for a higher walk than Deceiver. There's something in me that's wanting, oh, there's a pull deep down inside of me. It wants something better than just trickery and lying. Yes, I've made mistakes. Yes, I've had shortcomings. That's who I am. No, Jacob, that's not who you are. Amen, somebody. It'd been better off and said, Lord, I don't even know who I am. I'm in such an identity crisis. I don't know who I am. I've never done nothing right. I've never done nothing righteous. I've never done nothing holy. I've never done nothing that I needed to do this. That's right. Lord, I don't even know who I am. But he says, I am a schemer. But I got something in me that's greater than being a Jacob. You better be careful what you let people call you. Bro, that's good right there. Come right out of the bakery, man. Amen. You better be careful what you let people call you, because you can never allow your mistakes to define who you are. You can never allow your shortcomings to define who you are. You can never allow your past to dictate what you are in Christ. Why is it that we allow failures that happened 20 years ago to dictate who we are in life? Woo! Why do we allow mistakes? Why do we allow a divorce to happen years ago? Why do we allow sins that was committed in the past? Why do we allow our sinful self to be able to really dictate who we are under the blood? I got something in me that's greater than all of that. It's greater than my trials. It's greater than all of my faults. It's greater than my divorce. It's greater than my drinking. It's greater than my drug habit. It's greater than my besetting sins. It's greater than my lazy religious self. Can I keep right on coming down? It's greater than me just coming to a message church with a message sign over the door, sitting in message pews. It's greater than that. I'm not just another person in this church. I'm elect of God, put in this church for a season. But one day after the daybreak, we out of here. I said we are gone, brother. Why? Why does people, why do we allow people, and why does people name us by the things that we do wrong. Amen, somebody. Have you ever heard it? Who is that over there? Oh, he's a drug addict. Well, who is she? Well, she was a prostitute. Well, what about that guy? He was an alcoholic. Think about that. Even when it comes to the scripture, we remember people by what they did. Amen, church. Who was the woman who lived in the walls of Jericho that hid the two spies? Her name, if you will, was Rahab the... I see what your problem is. But wait a minute. That's only part of the story. Why do we remember people by the mistakes they made? Why do we remember people by what they done wrong? Rahab was only a harlot for a few years, but then she changed an identity and she was no longer a prostitute anymore, but she married a man by the name of Salmon and she gave birth to the very nation through Boaz. She never went back to that life again. But every time we hear her name, we're always reminded of the mistake that she made. Never allow your mistakes to define who you are. Well, Brother David, once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. You ain't been in this wrestling match very long, I can see that. Well, once a drug addict, always a drug addict. Once a problem, I mean always. That ain't the truth. This ain't an AA meeting tonight where everybody admits I'm an alcoholic. I am not an alcoholic. And that's the way we should be. I am not what they say I am. I am a prince. I am a son of God. I am elected. I am predestinated. I am chosen of God. I am what God says I am. Hallelujah. I am saved. I am redeemed. I am delivered. I am the Word on top of the Word, online on top of line. How about you? I do have the royal blood of Christ flowing in my veins. Sometimes we got to shake ourselves and wake up to what God's called us to be. Daybreak is almost here. So the angel knows this has got to happen quickly. I mean, this has got to happen quickly. So God wants the purpose of His Word in our lives to come to fruition. You believe that? So He fights it out. And Jacob says, I ain't letting you go. I ain't letting you go. So he held on. I said he held on and he kept holding and he kept holding. And the longer he held on, the more desperate he got. Now what Brian said in desperation, he said, Jacob got desperate that night. And the angel says, who are you? My name's Jacob. No. Loosen just a little bit, just a little bit, a little bit, just a little bit. Who'd you say I was? I said, I'm Jacob. I said, no. Now you're talking about a confusing battle. This angel says you ain't who you think you are. No! That's not who you are. Your name, because I say it. Your name, because I declare it. Your name is Israel. Glory to God. He names him after the fruition of what's going to come from his loins. He names him after the manifestation of the word that's going to be produced through his loins. Come on. He names him after what he's going to manifest. For out of Jacob come perfection, which was Joseph. Your name is Israel. I am what God says I am. I'm not my past failures. I'm not my past mistakes. It's not what I did wrong. I can go deeper than that. You are not a Jebusite. You are not a Hittite. You are not a Hivite. You are Israel. Can I tell you tonight, you're not Miss Baptist. You're not Miss Methodist. You certainly ain't no Church of Christ. You are what I say you are. You are what my word declares. You are what my angel said you are. You are the pure, spotless, virgin bride of Jesus Christ. That's my name. That's my name. He called me Prince. You are Israel, which means prince. Anybody know what a prince is? He's the son of a king. How confusing. I thought all this time, through Isaac and struggle in the womb, grabbing the heel, stealing the birthright, all this trickery and scheme. You say, I'm a prince. That's better than every other name I've been called by. I said, we've been called a lot of names in life. That's the best name you've ever been called. I can imagine when Jacob hears this, something lights within his heart looking, my, a prince. Israel, got a good sound to it. Israel, El, El, El. El. Hang on, hang on. Did you say El? Israel. I remember my daddy talking about his daddy Abraham. He said when he was up there in the plains of Mamre, he said that there was an angel that come down and said that he was an E-L. Are you telling me that the same angel, the same God that appeared to Abraham is trying to twist my neck off? Lord, why couldn't I have been laid back underneath the shade tree, underneath that oak tree, and looked out there at the tent and seen you walking down the road, and I invite you in for a little bit of food, a little bit of meat and some calf, some milk and a little bit of butter upon your corn. Why couldn't that have been me? Because you couldn't accept it like that. You had to have it the hard way. You had to have it the hard way. You had to have a wrestling match, you prince. Glory! It's one thing to know God, but for Him to call you a prince, to tell you who you are, to know your daddy, brings a recognition of your position of who you are. Your daddy, Israel, is a king. And I don't want you seeing yourself as schemer. Liar. Come on, church. Because I want to tell you something. When you come underneath this name, you're going to walk different. You're going to talk different. You're going to act different. Why? Why? Because I said, I have declared it. You are a prince. But Brother David, I still see Jacob's arms. I still see Jacob's hands. I still feel his face. I still see Jacob's legs. Yeah. But that ain't the same man it was. He might live in the same house. Come on, church. He may look a lot the same. But I'm telling you, there's somebody new in the control tower. Because now he's got a new name. And he is a prince. And them hands ain't going to do what they used to do. Them feet ain't going to go where they used to go. That mouth ain't going to talk the way it used to talk. It will be changed. God is not a man that he should lie. Let me just tell you something. If God tells you something, you take that check, run it down to the bank as quick as you can, deposit it in your bank because, brother, it is good. Because God can't lie. When he says it's his word, it is his oath. You know why we struggle with this? Can I tell you why? Can we just get, it's just us, let's talk. Can I tell you why? Because we're so busy looking at our Jacob instead of looking at that prince. We are so good with keeping up with how many mistakes we make, how many faults we got, how many shortcomings we made this week, how many times we forgot to pray when we woke up, preach Brother David. We're so good at keeping up with what Jacob has done. And you don't have to keep up with it. Satan will remind you every single day. You realize, friends, young people, do you know what the answer is to that? Dad, Mom, do you understand what the answer is to that? It's to turn around and say, hey, he called me Prince. I said, he called me Prince. You may look at what Jacob did, but Jacob's gone. Prince is here. The son of the king has arrived. But I know what you did wrong. Yeah, but he called me Prince. But you made a mistake over here. Yeah, but he called me Prince. But you keep failing tests. I might do it, but he has done declared, I'm a prince, so I'm a prince. I know you see those things, but I'm telling you, I've been wrestling with the angel of God. I've been wrestling with this angel. This seventh angel. And we've been wrestling it out. Because the angel of the Lord has come and spoken this hour. And he's declared something within his word that I've got to believe it because he said it. Invisible Union 1965, if you can handle it. It was nature associated with death. Your first husband that had ruled over you was your nature by natural birth, Jacob. Natural, you love the world because you're of the world, part of the world. That's right, congregation says. Your desires was by nature to love the world, which you were a part of. You're a part of nature. You believe that. And that's your natural thing. That's the reason you got to be born again, Jacob. You have to separate. You have to die to that first husband. You can't live with it. You just can't say, well, I'll divorce him and I'll hang him up here till an occasion. No, sir. No, sir. No. No writing of divorcement. He. He dies. You know what the angel's trying to do, don't you? Kill Jacob. Kill Jacob. You know what the preacher of the gospel tries to do to the church? Kill Jacob. He is trying his best to take the sword of the word and chop Jacob's head off. The nature of the world has to die. Every speck of him has to die. You have to be reunited again with another nature. Again, he says, well, you separated from your first union by spiritual death. Now you're born again or remarried again to a new spiritual union. You're talking about a shotgun wedding. You're going to marry me whether you want to or not. I'll knock your dick down your throat. You're remarried again to a new spiritual union. Not a natural thing in the world, but to eternal life. That germ that was in you at the beginning found you. Found you. Me and Zachary's playing the other night in the house and he went off, run off somewhere and I'd come through there sneaking up and he'd run out of the corner and I'd go, ah, I found you! Sometimes they think if he just puts his hands over his face, he can't see me. God ain't going away. I said he ain't easily spooked. He ain't going nowhere. Brother Ram said that germ that was in you at the beginning found you. He kept shoving you till you come across that little creek there and you come up to that place of Peniel. And when you got there, he went, finally, finally, Man. Man, what got into you? It ain't what's getting into me. It's what's fixing to get into you. Because I'm fixing to get a hold of you, Jacob. And I'm going to drag every ounce of shyster you got out of you. Your old book is gone with your old union. Your name has been transferred. Do you mean to tell me that my old book, yeah, God put it in the sea of His? You stand perfectly before God. We wrestled with the ministry of the Son of Man, and the Son of Man said, Jacob, you never did it in the first place. He called me Prince. But maybe you're saying we'll never make another mistake. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just telling you He called me Prince. You mean to tell me I'm never having another shortcoming? No, I'm just saying He called me Prince. Amen, somebody. Remember, even after He changed His name, He still called Him sometimes by Jacob and sometimes by Israel. I said even after He wrestled with the Lord. Amen, somebody. And after He got done wrestling with the angel, God didn't change it from the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Israel. Oh no. It still was the same. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of... Your God ain't just the God of the best of you. Bro, that's worth the whole sermon right there. He's not just the God of the perfection of me. He's not just the God of the glorification of me. But He's also the God of the worst of me. He's the God that can cover my past. He's the God that can forgive my sins. He's not just the God of Israel. He's the God of Jacob. The quicker you learn it, the better off you'll be. Somebody ought to be throwing a chair right now. You know? You kidding me? I mean, we ought to be tearing this place apart. He's not just the God of Israel. He's the God of this Jacob right here. When he don't feel like going to church, he's still my God. He's the God of Jacob. He's the God of Jacob. He's the God of my Jacob. He's the God of my weakness. He's the God of my failures. He's the God of my shortcomings. He's the God of my besetting sins. He's the God of my insufficiencies. I'm preaching about you and I'm talking about me. He's the God of my trouble. He's the God of my past. He's the God of my mistakes. He's the God of Jacob. Lord, you don't know what I did. He called me Prince. He's the God of Abraham, and Abraham lied. He's the God of Isaac, and Isaac lied. He's the God of Jacob, and he deceived. Oh God, you know why? After Jacob seen God's face, it was proof of what God had said about him. It was evident that it was happening because he never walked the same again. Once you meet God face to face, you can never leave the same way you come in. You said, Brother David, they come to Jesus. They may have, but I want to tell you, if you ever truly meet Him, if you ever really meet Him, and He actually wrestles it out of you, you will never get back up and walk the same way that you come in. Because when you get done, you're going to be dragging yourself to church and you're going to be dragging yourself home. You're going to drag yourself to read your Bible. You're going to drag yourself to be kind. You're going to drag yourself to have gentleness and patience and temperance and godliness and faith and virtue. You will be changed. He called me Prince.
In His presence, Brother Ram says,
After Jacob had wrestled all night, confessing his sins. You remember the place he was? He called it Peniel. The word Peniel in the Hebrew means the face of Almighty God. You cannot behold his face and see the characteristics of who he is and leave there wanting to be like you was before you got there. Can I tell you what I really mean? You cannot look into the face of this message, the revealed word of God, the very face of God, and walk away as though it didn't mean nothing. I'm going to go a step further than that. You can't come into this church underneath the ministry that God's put here and declare, well, I ain't never felt nothing. I ain't never sensed God. I ain't never seen the move of the Spirit. You're a liar. You are a liar. Because it's so strong sometimes, I've seen people grab the back of the pews until their knuckles turn white because they know God is there and he's fixing to fight it out of them. Jacob, that little shyster, had run. His name was Jacob, which means supplanter. That deceiver had run all of his life away from God. But when he got one time in the presence of God at Peniel, the face of God, he got a hold of God and wouldn't turn him loose. You get your hands on something genuine, Brother Terry. If you ever get your hands on something that is so real. I've never sensed this before. I've never felt like this before. What is that moving in this building? What is that pulling from my soul? What, there's something within me. It seems like it's called. I'll tell you what it is, Jacob. It's Israel fighting to get out. Amen. He's fighting to get out of you, Jacob. Abraham said the face of God, he got a hold of God and wouldn't turn him loose. God, we need more Jacobs. He held on to the face of God and the presence of God and stayed until it was sun up. And God said, let me go because the sun's arising. So at the rising of the sun, the church got its name changed. Amen. Underneath the presence of the Son of Man, the church got a name change. I said the age that his face showed up. Amen. The age that his face was looking down got a name change. Let me go because the sun's arising. He stayed to the face of God until sun up. I watched this. But he went away justified and saved. Do you know what Brother went on to say in Invisible Union? You are justified in the sight of God, EL, as though you never done it in the first place, Jacob. Jacob, you never was a deceiver. You never was a shyster. You never was a trickster. You was always a prince. Always. Can you imagine? I ain't letting you go till you bless me. Let me go, Jacob. Let me go. I ain't letting you go. I'm so sick of my ways. I'm sick of all this lying. I'm sick of all this tricking. I'm sick of all these attitudes. I'm sick of failing. Are you really? I'm sick of it. Let me go. I ain't letting you go. Fine then, Jacob. Have it your way. Oh, God! Oh! I told you to let me go. He didn't want to let him go. He wanted him to be changed. Throws his hip out. Literally means he was crippled the rest of his life. And Jacob was happy about it.
We read stories in the Bible. So the man that was healed, limb, he got healed. The man that had no eyesight, he got healed. The man that had this, got healed. All of a sudden, Jacob, he goes from good and being able to walk right, and to finally, he's just barely dragging himself around, and he goes, praise God. What's wrong with you, man? He called me a prince. So from this day forward, I'll be the limping prince. Heavy on the prince, little on the lipping. Remember, I'm sitting in Israel in the church. He touched his right thigh. He touched his thigh, and Jacob walked different. I hope that goes way down home. Amen. When you wrestle with God, you'll walk different after that. Watch. On the other side of the brook, that little river is strong. He was a strong, great man, backslidden though, away from God, running from his brother, running from God. Stout and sturdy. On the other side of the brook, a limping prince. Thou art a prince before God, for you had power with God as a prince. A limping prince, and he limped all of his life. Can you imagine what people had to say about this man when he leaves this? Man, what happened to you? Something wonderful. Come again? Something wonderful. I was over there by that brook last night, and a man jumped out of the bushes. He tangled with me, and I tangled with him. Well, what happened to your face? Well, he blacked this eye, swelled this lip, cut my nose, about pulled my ear off, two black eyes. I thought you said it was wonderful. It was. He beat the time out of me. And I loved every lick of it. Because when I woke up this morning, I was still a prince. He called me prince! Stand our feet, Lord, musicians. Come. Hallelujah. Amen. Once God says it, He can't retract it and take it back. It must be as He said it. God's not a man that He should lie. Once God declares it by His word, and El says it and says, you're the son of a king, you're the son of a king. And as the son of a king, you're going to act different. Because you got responsibilities now. Oh God. You're not going to be running from Esau no more. You're going to greet Esau. You know why? Because Brother Rim says once his name got changed, it brought a confidence that God could do anything. I don't have to worry about being killed. I don't have to be about run over and somebody just knocking me off because of my old ways. God's going to take care of me from this day on. I want to tell you, you say, Brother David, I don't know how in the world I'm going to make it the next day. I'll tell you how. I'm going to keep quoting His word. He called me a prince. But what about Jacob? He called me a prince. But I made a mistake. I'm a prince. Because He said, I'm a prince. You can look at whatever you want to. I'm going to look at what the angel said. Let's bow our hearts. Praise be to God. Amen. Amen. Lord Jesus, we are so thankful. You will not give up until every seed comes to their place. Lord, some easier than others. I'm just so thankful that You're mindful of me, Lord. Lord, no matter how far out a person may be, how many mistakes that they make, what kind of shortcomings they got. You are in control of it all. Push us if you have to the other side of the brook. Get us to the place, Lord, if you've got to fight it out of us, wrestle it out of us, cast it out of us, whatever you got to do. Lord, please. It's my desire to be changed. Lord, we've all come to that place in our religious walk. Even the church has come to that place after all these ages. Lord, You'd always send Your word according to the scripture. I will restore, saith the Lord. No matter what it looked like from age to age to age. Finally, You was going to show Your face. and old Jacob is going to be gone. That old church is going to be gone. And the bride is going to come to their position. Father, I pray. Lord, I don't know every person's problems. I don't know what issues they got. But I know you laid this on my heart tonight to speak. Lord, as I looked within this, it challenged me as a man. Lord, it challenged me in my walk. Help me as an individual. Lord, may every person look at it this way. Help me as an individual to keep my Jacob so beat down that my prince can come out and bring Jacob under subjection to the Word of God. May he surrender to you, Lord, tonight, I pray. Grant it, Lord, I ask. For we love you, Lord. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. Amen. I'm amazed that you love me. As our brothers make way for the baptism this evening. I'm amazed. How many is amazed tonight? Amen. I'm amazed. Amen. Well, I'm amazed. Help me now. Lord, I'm amazed.
But I've learned
Your love is stronger than my weakness.
I can't outlast you, Lord. I can't outfight you.
Your ear is open every time I pray.
Oh, hallelujah.
No one else has ever cared for me like you,
ain't
Lord.
Nobody loves me like you.
Other friends can never be as close to me. I'm not afraid to face my tomorrows, knowing you are everything I'll ever need. I'm amazed that you love me. I'm amazed how you
Garvin. Of course, she's the daughter of Charles and Andy Garvin, and she desires to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. She's 8 years old, and when I baptize some of these little young fellas, sometimes I feel like maybe somebody out there doesn't really understand or have maybe some little issue with that, so I really felt led tonight to read a couple of quotes. It won't take but just a moment. So I'd like to read you a couple of things that Brother Ram said, if you don't mind. He said, in any little baby, he says this actually in 1956, he says the same thing in the Marriage and Divorce tape in 65. He said, any little baby, no matter how sinful the parents are, as soon as it dies, it goes straight into the arms of Christ. See? Because he paid the price. No matter if it was a baby born in sin, by adultery, or whatever, it makes no difference at all. That baby is safe with Christ because he died to take away the sins of the world. And when it gets old enough now that it's done personal sin, then it has to repent of what it done, but it has no personal sin until it's old enough to commit sin to know what's right and wrong. You say, well, she's only 8 years old. How does she know what's right and wrong? Brother Randall also says this. He said, someone said to me one time, Brother Randall, why do you baptize children? Jesus said, suffer the little children to come to me. That's it. Suffer. Let them come, said, well, she doesn't know what she's doing. Brother Ram said, she knew when she was wrong, wouldn't she? You think that child wouldn't know when she done wrong? If she's old enough to know when she done wrong, she's old enough to know when she done right. Amen. What if something would happen to her and I'd forbid her? Then the blood would be on my hands at that day. Yes, sir. No matter what age they are, when they want to come, you let them come. That's right. Call your attention to another little quote I pulled up this afternoon. Brother Graham's talking about his son Joseph. Said, now Joseph is 7, and so he's too young for it yet. But he said, but if he desire it, and say God was putting it on his heart, then I would baptize him. So God has put this on little Claire's heart to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. She's been kind of talking to Mommy and Daddy, and she says, well, you know what? To go to heaven, I got to get baptized. So that's the next step. I got to be baptized. I've asked the Lord Jesus to come into my heart, and the next step is to be baptized. That's good gospel teaching, isn't it? So that's what we're going to do. She's old enough to do wrong, know wrong. She's old enough to know right. So we're going to baptize her in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can we bow our heads for prayer? Lord Jesus, as we have little Claire here before us, we're just so thankful for your grace in her life. Lord, I'm thankful that you deal with these little young ones, even at a young age, and what you are doing what you've done for her and how she desires to take on your name. As we heard the preaching of the word tonight, Jacob's name was changed to Israel. We thought we've heard of Abram and Abraham, and even Sarai changed to Sarah. Lord, as Sarah's name was changed, and little Clara desires to be a new little Sarah, Lord, where she wants to take on a new name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, as we baptize her in water, we just pray, God, you'll baptize her with the Holy Spirit. You promise it, Lord, and we believe it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless her now is my prayer. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Sister Clara, upon the confession of your faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Oh, praise God. Another one to the kingdom. Amen. Let's sing this just before we go. Before it reaches to the highest mountain, the blood will never lose its power.
Well, for it reaches to the highest, I believe in God. Oh, let it flow. Take me to your river valley. I said, the God that gives me my strength.
The Lord tonight, listen, this has been this. Please remember Brother Don and Sister Carol when they travel. Lord, touch our sister. Oh, I'm so grateful he called me friends. He didn't call me church, he called me bride. Remember, they went to the church. Well, that man called me a buzzard. He said, well, he called me an equal. You can sit in the same service, hear the same sermon, hear two different identities all together. But I want to tell you, if he called you an eagle and you meet God face to face when you leave there, you're going to spread them eagle wings out. You're not going to eat on old dead carcass of the world or denominationalism. You're going to eat on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm going to be ready. Sing it now. Oh.